It's live from Studio 5 on AMI Audio. Mike Ross and Judy Gupta with you. The Inuit and the federal government have signed a deal that is going to see the Inuit use their traditional knowledge to develop a marine management plan covering more than 380,000 square kilometers of coastal waters on the far eastern end of the Northwest Passage. The plan comes as climate change and the decline of Arctic sea ice are opening up the passage to an increasing amount of ship traffic. Here to explain what the plan means to the Inuit, marine Arctic life, and our increasing usage of the Arctic Ocean is Lawrence Gunther. He's the host of Bluefish Radio, which you can hear every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern here on AMI Audio. Lawrence, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Very good, thank you.
How was your long weekend?
Oh, it was good. I was in New York City camping. There's a little campground right next to the Hudson River. So we popped up our little truck camper there and subwayed into the city every day.
Oh, sounds like you had a great time. But let's talk about this plan. Can you tell us a little more about what the plan is meant to accomplish?
First of all, it recognizes the rights of the Inuit to have control of their marine ecosystem. I mean, these are people of the ocean, right? It recognizes that fact that these are people of the ocean, and they have always derived their nutrients and their livelihood and their food from the ocean. You know, they live along the shore. But also, you know, it covers with the climate change and the warming Arctic Ocean and the retreat of the ice pack and the fact that, you know, used to be open for 2 or 3 months a year. Now it's open for 7, 8 months a year, the ocean in certain parts now. And it's possible to drive ships around the north end of North America from east to west, west to east. So you have all the ship traffic, you have resource extraction, you have, you know, navigation, you have historic sites, you have all of these issues that have now come into play. It's not a matter of just, you know, navigating frozen ice anymore. It's all, everything under the ocean is all open for our usage and exploitation. And how do we manage that?
You know, I was just reading about the increase in adventure tourism in Arctic waters. The site of the Franklin Expedition, for example, is attracting snorkelers now. I don't think I've ever heard of anyone looking to go snorkeling in Arctic waters, Lawrence, but it seems like it's somewhere, you know, somewhat still sort of untamed, I guess, somewhere undiscovered for so many people. And yet I can't help but be a little bit concerned about that.
Well, if there's any wreck you'd ever want to dive on, those two ships from the Franklin expedition would be, you know, on the top of my bucket list. You know, I do scuba. I'm certified in scuba, and I'd kill for a chance to dive on those wrecks. Absolutely. I mean, they're in pristine condition. There's boots that are looking, you could even take the boots off the wreck and put them on and wear them. Everything's in great shape. But how do you manage that? And who manages that? Mm. If it's going to be tourism, who gets the money from that, right? So that's a big potential there, moneymaker, but it has to be done properly. Otherwise, you know, that's not going to be around. It's going to be picked clean.
I think it leads to the question of the inevitable conflict that might arise. So who is responsible for making sure that tourism and other commercial activities carried out sustainably in these Arctic waters, because we're also managing commercial interests with a precarious ecosystem. But I'm curious about the origins of that dispute.
The Inuit, they say their origins come from about 13, 14,000 years ago, just before the last ice age, when the water level dropped quite a bit and you could walk over from Siberia into Canada's Arctic, into Alaska. And that's how a lot of people think North America and South America were populated, because people walked over from that area. But we showed up about 500 years ago. Whalers showed up for whale hunting. And these were illiterate people, so they didn't write anything down, but they had it in their heads. And they would get back to Europe and talk. And then word got out that there was this land over there in the west from Europe. And then the explorers got money from the queens and princesses and, you know, so on, and kings, to come over and explore in the name of this king or that queen and try to find that Western Passage eventually, like Franklin tried to do. So, you know, you had these Inuit here for 14,000 years, and all of a sudden these Europeans come over and start planting flags for this country and that country. It was all abandoned after the Franklin expedition was lost. It wasn't of any interest to anybody, because no one found resources up there. you know, and the whale population was cut back from the whaling operations. So it was more or less left alone for a long time. But now it's not that case anymore. So it's super hot, you know, disputed property again, right? And who gets that property and who gets the right to use it? This agreement is quite large. And, you know, it's two phases. There's 12 kilometers out from the shoreline, which is under full control of the Inuit. And then from 12 nautical miles out to 200 nautical miles, it's shared control with the Canadian government. But that's halfway to Greenland. And what it does, though, it says, you know, hey, Canada and the Inuit and Nunavut government, they're all claiming this territory. This is our territory. This is all part of Canada. So back off, Russia. Back off, Denmark. Back off all the other countries that want to claim that territory for themselves. This is our water.
Lawrence Gunther is with us here live from Studio 5 on AMI Audio, talking about a deal that has been signed with the Inuit and the federal government that will see the Inuit use their traditional knowledge to develop a marine management plan to work on the coastal waters, 380,000 kilometers of coastal waters on the far eastern end of the Northwest Passage. Lawrence, when you look at this deal overall, what's the most important part of it? Why is this an important step, and why is it important to do it right now?
Three things. First of all, the government of Canada has said it's going to make 10% of our ocean waters, which really accounts for 70% of Canada's territory, is covered by our three oceans. They want to have 10% of that covered by marine protection areas in the next 5 years or so, and then 20% in the next 15 or so years. So this is a step towards that. It recognizes for the first time ever Indigenous control over a territory in terms of protection and conservation. So that's a first. And it deals with this whole disputed area that's come open to usage. And getting the people, the right people to the table to figure how that works, because knowledge, but their local knowledge is hunting on the ice. Their local knowledge is fishing through holes in the ice. They have some local knowledge about hunting, you know, in whale boats and kayaks and things like that. But their season for hunting whales and seals in open water was very short, very, very short, 2 or 3 months a year. They didn't do a lot of fishing or hunting from boats. Now they can. And now they're really starting to open up the fisheries up there and resource extraction. And how do you manage all that to make sure it's going to be done respectfully and responsibly and sustainably? And it's more important than ever to make sure the Inuit are at the table so they have a chance to express their values about sustainability, about harvesting responsibly, so that they have control to make sure that their resources aren't going to just be plundered by some big multinational corporation that's going to come through.
It's a fascinating discussion, but before we let you go, can you tell us what's coming up on the next edition of Bluefish Radio?
Yeah, we got a conversation with the Nunavut Minister of Land Development, and he's the one responsible for implementing this plan. So we'll have a conversation with him to hear about why it's important to the Inuit people of the Eastern Arctic and what they plan to do in terms of preparing for the implementation of that plan. They have 6 months to collect their local knowledge, to talk to their elders, to talk about what the historic uses of the ocean and the coastlines has been, to document all the sites, all the important sites, burial sites, meeting, all of that stuff. And then 6 months to sort of develop a plan to propose to the federal government and say, this is what we want. This is what we need. This is who we are. This will protect our culture and all of that. And then they can sit down and start to really work out the details of what this agreement means.
All right. Lawrence, looking forward to it. Thanks very much for being here today. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Have a great day, you guys.
You too. Lawrence Gunther is the host of Bluefish Radio. You can check it out Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.